Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Esther chapter and number 5 in the Word of God. Esther chapter number 5 in the Word of God today. As you find your place in Esther chapter number 5, for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now entitled Heroes of the Faith. And we've been coming kind of verse by verse here through Esther. And we saw, first of all, in our series, about a 10-part series on the life of Moses and really the leadership that he left and what an incredible life that he lived. And now we're looking at this next hero of the faith. And this is part 8 of that series, looking at the life of Esther. Looking at the life of Esther. So as we look here at Esther chapter number 5, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word today? Esther chapter number 5, we're going to read one verse, and then as the Lord allows, we'll continue really doing quite a bit of reading today. So if you didn't bring your Bible, that's quite all right. You can follow along as I read. But as we sit down, don't shut your Bibles. We're going to be going through some of this passage today, kind of set up really for the very ending of this message. And my wife told me before the message, we are leaving right after this morning, and we're heading south for spring break this next week. I praise the Lord, Brother Bryant Harvey's going to be preaching for us tonight. And so, I mean, as soon as the service's over, we're going to be heading, we're packing our stuff in the van, and we're heading out. And my wife told me, now, honey, if you've ever preached a short sermon in your life, today would be that day. And I said, girl, you just wait. I'm going to preach. You just watch. So you buckle your seatbelt, and we're going to dive into this passage. But you are going to say, man, we got a lot of reading to do. But it's incredible. And you watch as the Word of God lays out this passage of Scripture. It is so incredible. Chapter 5, look it with me at verse number 3. The Bible says this. Then said the king unto her, talking to Esther, what will thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. This morning I want to look at this passage of Scripture. And for the next couple of moments, we're going to lay a little bit of foundation and really hit at the end. I want to look at just the subject of peace today. Peace and really finding peace by following God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord. It's really incredible to be in your house, Lord, together as the body of Christ. Lord, there are so many that meet across the United States. And Father, it's just another service. It's kind of that three to thrive mentality. And we come in, sing songs, stand up, sit down, get through the sermon, get through an invitation, we head out. But Father, for some, we begin to comprehend and understand it's not religion, it's a relationship. And we have the privilege of coming today and learning about you, Savior. Now, Father, I ask, Lord, as I prayed earlier, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds right now. Father, that you'd hide me behind the cross, that we'd see you in the Word today. Thank you for friends. Thank you for family. Thank you for visitors. Thank you, Father, for those who are tuned in via live stream today that aren't able to be in our services. Thank you, Father, that we can gather and we can learn about you. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We know through these last several chapters that we've been in that the Jews now, because of a man named Haman, are about to be annihilated. Mordecai and Esther up to this point have really been our two main characters that we've been dealing with. Esther up to this point has kept a total secret that she is a Jew. She is now queen, and Mordecai, hearing the words that have been passed down, that all of the Jews on a certain day are going to be totally annihilated. This has been sealed with the king's signet ring, and there is no going back on this law that up to this point, whatever is said, it's done. That's it. So Mordecai, who is the uncle of Esther, goes to him and goes to her and begins to tell her, now look, now is the time you got to stand up. Like, you got to let people know who you are. You've got to take a stand. You've got to go before the king. And we saw last week that that Esther says, look, I haven't seen the king in 30 days. Knowing him, knowing his temperament, that is not a good thing. If I go before him without having an appointment, Persian law is that I am going to lose my life. And Mordecai says, you can't think about yourself. You've got to be thinking about your family. You've got to be thinking about yourself. You've got to be thinking about us. And so we saw that incredible courage that it took for Esther to go before the king. And now she's before the king in chapter 5. He reaches out and she touches this big gaudy signet. He would reach out. She touches. So she's okay to start talking. He says, Esther, verse number 3, whatever you want, what do you want in the kingdom? Up to half the kingdom, you ask. And this is what you're going to get. I mean, so you're talking about a birthday gift at this point. I mean, she's going before him. And now, up to half the kingdom, you can have whatever you want. Now, I want you to tune in and look with me at verse number 4 and watch what the Word of God says. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come. Remember, Haman's the bad guy. Come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. And then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, and he make do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Verse number 6, and the king said to Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? He was asking again, what do you want? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition, my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. Now, hold on to that right here. Now, I know it's just such a temptation to keep reading, but we'll read here in just a moment. Now here's the queen. She's out. You can have anything in the kingdom. Okay, here's what I want you. I want you, king, and Haman, come to the banquet, and then I'll tell you what I want. They come to the banquet, and they begin to eat. They begin to drink, and at the banquet, the king once again says, okay, Esther, what do you want? What? Half the kingdom, it's yours. She says, okay, here's what I want. I want you and Haman to come to a banquet that I have prepared tomorrow. Now, for some men in this room, you're having PTSD right now because this is every birthday and anniversary when you ask your wife, what do you want? If you're saying, well, I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll tell you tomorrow. Anybody with me on that? Oh, it's just my wife? I think not. I understand. At this point, we're thinking, what in the world? When I think about Esther at this moment, I'm thinking, Esther, would you speak your mind? Esther, you have now been asked twice. What is it that you want? Well, come to the banquet I prepared and I'll tell you. Go to the banquet. Okay, Esther, what do you want? Well, come tomorrow to the banquet. I tell you, you're just telling me, come here, seriously? Seriously? You can have anything in the... You're going to lose temper. Think about this for a moment. Why didn't Esther just blurt it out? Why didn't Esther just say, okay, honestly, king, here's what I want. I want to be saved. I don't want my people to die. Haman's here. Get him. He's the guy. I mean, what is it that held Esther in refraining what she wanted to say? You see, this is called, understand, this is called discernment. This is you and I comprehending that in the Word of God, there are these nuggets and there are these principles that you and I in 2022, in this culture, in this society, you and I can grow and learn from. That means this, sometimes, are you listening to this? Sometimes it is okay to hold your tongue. The Bible puts it this way, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Proverbs 21 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. James puts it this way, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, and full of deadly poison. That means this, what you and I can learn from this passage of Scripture, from Esther in this moment is that it is okay. Listen, friend, it is okay at times to hold your tongue. It is okay at times, even when you're in the flesh, even when you think, I got to speak my mind. I got to let it be known right now. Let me tell you something, friend. You and I got blurred out. We get in the flesh. We get in the, well, I'm just a very spirited person. I got to let people know my mind. Comprehend this. You and I have got to be careful, because what comes from the mouth can never go back in. What you and I speak, we don't get a redo. May I tell you, friend, there are many marriages around the country today that could have been helped had one of the members, one of the spouses held their tongue. There's many relationships that could have been restored. There are many Christians that cry, well, it's just the way I am. Listen, friend, I comprehend and I understand there are those moments that you and I just want to, well, we just want to let it out. But let me tell you, in the Word of God, a wise person holds their tongue. It is the fool, friend, that speaks their mind. The day we live, this is amazing. This is, I'll just be honest with you, like, this is kind of hard. Like, do you ever wish we could go back to the mid-90s when there was no social media? Anybody with me on that? I like social media. I've got Instagram. I got Facebook. I got Twitter. But, and I get it. And I like it. I enjoy it. But I'm just telling you, sometimes, hold on. Sometimes I wish we could just go back to the cool days of the 90s when none of that junk was on there. Because in the day and night days that you and I live in, sometimes it is hard to keep your tongue. Here's how I feel about politics, and here's how I feel about coronavirus, and here's how I feel about doctors, here's how I feel about Ukraine, here's how I feel. And all of a sudden we're like, oh yeah, okay, that, Lord, I got it, that is my cue, let me take over right here. And we get on there and we just start typing out, and we're ready to land blast, we're letting everybody know, here's my mind, here's how I feel. We are a very, I mean, you talk about people have preference, look, we all have our preferences, but you know, sometimes it's okay to keep them to yourself. It can take years to build a testimony and just minutes to lose it. We go to basketball games, and especially if my son Tommy is playing, at times it is very hard for me, even though he's only 12, to hold back from letting the unfair referees know that I am a man of God. And you called it wrong, brother. I've been in many a games where my leg is bruised from my wife's fingernails. She's going in and digging in. And I'm sitting there, oh, well, he didn't call it right. It was a foul. Good grief. Get some glasses. you just want to let it go. But let me tell you something. In that moment, there are many kids in that gym. In that moment, we can let something, and Tommy, I'm not saying this, but we can let can I put it this way, a stupid game ruin our testimony because this little tongue, this little member. Esther, what do you want? Well, come to the banquet. Esther, what do you want? Well, come tomorrow. And we sit there and say, Esther, what you know what to say, and yet at times it's okay to refrain. Look at verse number 9. Then when Haman, remember the bad guy, forth that day, look at, he is so joyful and he's glad of heart. But when Haman saw, oh, here we go again, Mordecai in the king's gate that stood not up nor moved from him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Verse number 10, nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he advanced him above the princes and the servants of the king. Verse number 12, Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared. But of course, just me and the king were there. And tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this, watch Haman, here we go again. All this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Here's his vision once again is so skewed. Is so one-sided. Before we jump, now hold on, hold on. Before we jump all over Haman, let's just take a little pause here real quick. And we can go back 3 weeks ago and re-preach that sermon, but obviously we're in a little bit of hurry. Florida's calling our name. I'm just kidding, by the way. I'm not coming back to this church. No, we take very seriously the preaching of God's word. It's a total joke. But listen, understand that we're not going to go back and re-preach, but I will tell you this. Before we jump all over Haman, we can let others skew our vision of who Jesus is as well. Let's go to church today. Boy, let's get in church. All of a sudden we pull in the parking lot and we see somebody that we don't agree with, somebody we don't necessarily like. And the Holy Spirit all of a sudden is shooed out of that place. Oh, here they go again. I hope I don't sit near them. I hope I don't have to hear them sing. I hope they took my parking spot. That's my pew. Don't you know? All of a sudden we allow other people to affect our, well, let's just put it this way. The good that God has allowed in our life. Friend, don't let somebody else be your identity. Don't let somebody else upset you in the case that you can't live your life for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, don't be so focused on, oh, all this good happened to me. I get to go in the king's house. Esther only invited me. I've been promoted, but Mordecai, oh, he still won't bow down to me. I mean, we look at that and say, how foolish. But can I tell you, friend, the 21st century Christian is just as guilty. The little things that we allow to get in our life and to get under our crawl and cause us, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. And all of a sudden, our identity of worship, our identity of the gospel, our identity in God, our identity in Christ is based upon emotions of how we feel about someone else. And can I put it this way, friend? That is a miserable way to live. It's miserable. Verse number 14. Then said Zeresh's wife and all his friends unto him. Okay, look, Haman, here's what you need to do. Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. And on the morrow, speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. And that thou go merrily with the king unto the banquet. Oh. Mordecai being hung, 50 cubits in the air. Oh, and this thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Friend, look at the pride in this man's life. Look at how puffed up he is. I can't enjoy all these things because someone, well, if that's someone's in your life, then what you need to do is you need to get back at them. Build some gallows in the air and hang them way in the air so that everybody can mock at them, laugh at them. Then you can go to the banquet clicking your heels and enjoy the party with the king. Isn't it amazing the amount of pride that Haman has allowed into his life that at this point it has totally skewed who he is, the promotion that he has had in his life, the pride of, look at me, and if anybody stands away, and if I don't care if 1,000 people are bowing down, if that one person doesn't bow down, well, then I'm here to tell you, we've got to get rid of him. Friend, the Bible puts it like this, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 6, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let me remind you and I today, there are none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The moment that you and I walk even at Cross Point Baptist Church or our home church thinking that we're something, thinking that it's our ministry and my piano and my pew and my pulpit and this is my bus round and these are my kids and this is my Sunday school class. And look at what I've done. Look at what I've grown. Let me tell you something, friend. That is the very moment we have shooed the Holy Spirit out the door. We might as well put Ichabod above on our pulpit or on our steeple. Why? Because it's not about you and I. It's all about the King. It's all about our Savior. It's all about Jesus. Let me say, I love Jesus. Would you say amen today? Okay, then, well, it's about half, so. Lord, we'll have to work on that. If you really love Jesus, would you say amen today? Amen. Whoa, our God. It's not us. Everything that you and I have accomplished in our life, wonderful, great, but I'm going to put it like this. It's only because of the grace of Jesus. It's only because of Him. It's all grace. It's all God. It's all mercy. It's all Him. And it will always, always only be about Him. But friend, can I warn us today, be careful. All of a sudden we start elevating ourselves to this place of, look at me and look what I've done and look at the business I have. Look at the grandkids I have. Look how successful my kids are. And that identity, once again, is so skewed, thinking that you and I, friend, follow, are something that we are not. And if everything doesn't align, if I don't get my way in everything, well then, watch it, Haman. All of a sudden, we start taking advice from the foolish. Chapter number 6 is incredible. I want you to go back and read it later. It really brings Haman low real fast. But I want you to look at chapter 7. Look at verse number 1. We're going to get to the main point here in just a moment, but you've got to follow this. Chapter 7, look at verse number 1. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. So here it is again. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half the kingdom. Look, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Esther, what do you want? Half the kingdom. You tell me what you want. You got it. Okay, verse number 3. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I am my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not contravail the king's damage. Now hold on right here, pause just for a moment. Time out, look right here. Can you imagine, like, this is the second day of the banquet. Haman thinks he's all awesome. And it's just me and the king and the queen. And boy, look at me. And also, what do you want, Esther? I'm sure Haman's sitting there like, tune in. Okay, here we go. What does she want? Good grief, girl. Get it over with. I know what I would choose, so let's hear it. Well, I'm going to be killed and all my people are going to be killed. Now, hold on. Come back. The awkwardness in the room as Haman's starting to put two and two together. Now, some of you are reading. Why are you reading? I said, I'm going to read it in a minute. Mrs. Harvey, you think you can just look down and not, I know what you're doing. Just wait. You're taking my job. Now, look, watch. Can you imagine the awkwardness? Like, if there was ever a time in an awkward moment to be like, I think I have to go to the bathroom. May I be excused? This is the time. Haman now is beginning to put together, uh-oh, Esther is a Jew. Look at verse number 5. Miss Harvey, read out loud for us. No, I'm just joking. Verse number 5. And the king, Ahasuerus, answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he? And where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. And then Haman spit his juice out across the table and was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. He couldn't even take it. He stands up. The king's like, I'm so mad. He walks out of the room. And Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther. He's in a panic, the queen. And he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. I'm going to lose my life. This is not good. Verse number 8. And the king returned out of the palace garden. He comes back. The king comes back into the room in the place of the banquet of wine. Check this out. After the semicolon. And Haman, I mean, what a klutz, was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. The king gets more mad. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in my house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Check it out. Look up here just for a second. You talk about a guy on a major losing streak. Oh my word, she's a Jew. I'm a dead man. The king is so mad, he walks out of the room. Haman gets up from the table. He's such in a stupor. I can't believe that. I've been stupid. You've got to save me. He falls down on Esther on the queen's bed. Just then, the king walks back in the door. It's over. It's over. They blindfold him. Look at verse number 9. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, King, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, if you remember, verse chapter number 6, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him there on. Now watch right here. Talk about crazy twist in a story. Here is Harbona, one of the chamberlains, and she just kind of speaks out. King, I don't know if you know this or not, but Haman made these gallows that are 50 feet in the air. And just letting you know. Hold on. Stop right here. Anybody have a sister? I had 7 sisters. Anybody have a sister or brother that's Harbona? That's them? Oh, I had one. I won't name her name because she just knows who she is. She's one right above me. Her name's Talisa, by the way. I'm just here to tell you, Talisa was that. We'd be sitting around eating at the table and she'd be like, Mom, Dad, I don't know if you remember, but didn't you tell Thomas to empty the trash cans? And I'm sitting there, I'm going to kill you. I mean, that was her. That was a little tattletale. Sometimes even my mom was like that. Somebody said, but we just have all these leaves in our gutters, but we just don't know what we're going to do. And I'm like 13 years old. My mom would be like, you know what? Thomas can get those leaves out. And I'm like, Mother, would you just be quiet right now? We all got Harbonas in our lives. And here's Harbona. She says, King, I don't know if you know, but Haman made these gallows for Mordecai that actually saved your life from an attempted murder in chapter number 2. And you honored him in chapter number 6. And can you imagine? Here is Haman. He can't even see. And he just knows at this point it's over. Thanks a lot, Harbona. Look at verse number 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. That's it. It's really the end of the story. Chapters 8, 9, and 10. It's really amazing. Everything that Haman owned is given to Esther. Chapter number 10 and verse number 3. The whole book ends with Mordecai. Mordecai being second in all of the kingdom. Haman and all of his 10 sons are then hanged. They couldn't go back on the law because it had already been signed with the signet. But he set out another set of rules for all the kingdom that the Jews are able to fight. Tens of thousands of people lose their lives. The Jews are then elevated. I mean, it's this incredible story that ends with like, wow, this is amazing. What Esther and the courage and Esther and holding her tongue and Esther, this incredible wise woman that's a hero of the faith. And what do we learn from all this? Well, there's a lot of pastors. We've got pastors here today, Pastor Jason, and there's others that are here that are visiting. And a lot of times what we do is we'll approach this passage of Scripture and we automatically run to, are you ready for this? You reap what you sow. Now, hold on. You catch this? You reap what you sow. Haman sowed a lot, and then Haman in the end reaped. Throughout the Word of God, we have this principle of reaping and sowing. And the Bible says, be ye not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Paul said it like this, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. There is that reaping and that sowing. There is that boomerang that comes back around. There is that comprehension that what you and I, the way that you and I live our lives, comprehend. Watch now. Ultimately, one day, you are going and I are going to reap what we sow. And sure, of course, we could go right into it. It's not for us to get revenge. We have to give it to God. It's not for us to take the will of the Holy Spirit and, well, what's gone? I'm here. No, no. We have to live a life where you and I comprehend. Hold on. One day you and I are going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for ourselves in what you and I have accomplished for Him. Nobody else there. There's a reaping and there is a sowing. We have to give that to God, but that's not the direction I want to go for the next just couple moments. And we'll seal this up. Now watch very carefully. I want us to talk about peace for a moment. Have you ever thought about what would have happened if Haman's concentration and his entire vision of life would not have been upon Mordecai? If he would have had peace, he would have never gone after Mordecai. And if he would have never gone after Mordecai, he would have never gone after the Jews. If he had never gone after Jews, he would have never been lumped Esther in there. If he would have never done that, then he never would have been hanging upon his own gallows that he built. If he would have had peace, the whole story of Esther may not even be in the Word of God. We might not even have an historically accurate account of this woman's life. What if Haman would have had peace with his own reality of who he was? What if he would have had peace that he was built up and that the king was promoting him? As he looked around, there was one guy that didn't like him. But he was okay with it because he knew who he was. He was settled in the fact of who he was. Now, whoa, what about you and I? Let me tell you, even as a pastor, when I was young in the ministry, Pastor Fitzgerald, I struggled. I struggled with someone not liking me. It bothered me. I like to be liked. I think I'm a likable person. See how nobody says amen? Now that's going to bother me. It bothered me. Pastor Dan, there could be 100 people walk out the door. Brother Burke, they all be like, man, praise the Lord, God spoke to my heart. And all, the Holy Spirit pierced. And, oh, I'm telling you, God's just doing a great work. Oh, we're so happy to be here. Wonderful day. And you'd have this one naysayer. And they'd walk through. Well, you said chapter 6 and verse number 3, but it was actually chapter 7 and verse number 3. And I spent 10 minutes looking for it in the Word of God. And all of a sudden you start sweating and like, oh, my word, what's this? Are you going to leave the church? Well, I didn't like this. All of a sudden, one person, and I'd go home at lunch, and I wouldn't concentrate on like what the Lord's doing. I'd concentrate on that one person that didn't like me, didn't like the sermon, didn't like the song service, didn't like that the organ was too loud and the piano was too soft, or the piano was too loud and the organ was too soft and the microphone was so loud. And I don't know if you noticed, Pastor, but I couldn't even pay attention because there was one light bulb in the auditorium that wasn't on. And then this person, I'm too hot and I'm too cold. And all of a sudden, like before we jump all over Haman's case, can I just tell you, we can be the same way. But what if we had a peace? That we're not perfect people. And we are who we are. Can I help us out today? You and I cannot live our lives. Are you ready for this? We cannot live our lives trying to please everyone in this life. If you do, as I have done, you will be miserable. You can never please everyone. In fact, we're never commanded in Scripture that we are to live our lives trying to please everyone. But we are commanded to live a holy life and a separated life. And you and I are commanded to be holy as He is holy. And you and I are commanded in life to live a life for who? For Jesus Christ. It's a gospel-centered life that's not worried about their standard and their preference and what they think. And, oh, I've got to do this because their way, and I can't do this because I can't live this way. And I can't. No, no, hold on. You and I have never been commanded to live that life. You say, okay, so Pastor, you got to help us. How do we reap right? How do we sow right? How do we live a life that truly is just these five letters? How do we live a life that is not like Haman, but no, a life that is of true peace? Well, here's how you live it. You have a life that knows the Prince of Peace. Can I ask you today, if you're saved, would you say amen? Did you know that you and I now comprehend and know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? No, hold on. See, I think that even at a Baptist church, like we've heard that before. Brother Beam, we've heard that. We got it. We got it down. Brother Miller, we've heard this. We've been in church for years. Okay, so we live a life for the King, and I've been saved. But let's stop and pause for a minute. Do you really know Him? Because if you really know Him, He is called the God of Peace. He's the very Prince of Peace. The Bible says that in the life you and I live, we're going to have tribulation. You and I are going to go through hard times. We're going to have relationship problems. We're going to have moments of our life that doesn't seem to just align. And we're going to have those times that it's tough and it's difficult to get through. Hold on. So what do we do? I guess what we do is we just give up, right, Pastor? I mean, that's it. We got to call it quits. I mean, I don't know. You keep saying we live in the last days, but God hasn't come back yet. So I guess that's just it, right? Really? Is that just it? Do you know that Jesus Christ came and had a ministry on this earth? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. At the end of His ministry, He willingly gave His life on a cross so that you and I can live. Well, yes, I know that. Yes, and I've got Jesus living in my heart, and it's good and it's great, but it doesn't get rid of the fact that Russia and Ukraine are at it right now. And it doesn't get rid of the fact that they're talking about another variant of the COVID virus. And that doesn't get rid of the fact that we're losing our freedom of speech in the United States. And that doesn't get rid of the fact that so-and-so might be elected. And I know Jesus and I know I'm going to heaven, but to be honest with you, I'm kind of like Haman. I don't have real peace in my life. Then my question would be, if you know Jesus, then you know real peace, because He is the very Prince of Peace. The Bible says this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When He came, the angels sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth, watch this, peace, goodwill towards men. That means this: if you don't have peace in your life, my first question, do you know Jesus? I didn't say to you, hold on, I didn't say to you, do you attend church three times a week? No, I said, do you know Him? I didn't say, do you put money in the offering plate? No, do you know Him? I didn't say to you, do you sing in the choir? No, I said, do you know Him? Well, I teach a Sunday school class. Congratulations. Well, I was a deacon's kid. Okay, great. Well, I grew up in a pastor's home. Friend, those things are all good and great, but that does not mean that you know Jesus personally. Does this make sense today? Say amen. You see, when you and I know Him, there's things in our life that begins to change. When you and I know Him, you and I will have peace in our heart. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And watch it now, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Here's what it means. You ready for this? When you know Jesus and you know Him, you begin to have a peace in your heart that no matter what comes our way, hold on, don't tune out. It's going to be okay. Now, friend, it doesn't mean that it's always easy. There's men and women in this very room. There's peace in their hearts, but there was a real storm. Bruce and Gail last year lost a grandchild. It's unnatural. That's a very difficult circumstance.
Well, yeah, bless God.
Bruce Gale, have peace in your heart. It's going to be okay. Okay, but hold on. Really, is it? No, is it? Tom, you buried your dad last week. Is that easy? Well, Bo Tom, glad you're in church. Bless God. It's just, you got to have peace in your heart. Okay, hold on. But let's calm down for the preaching for just a moment. Tina, it's over here. Tina, buried your dad last week. Well, Tina, I'm glad you're here. Glad you're at least on the second row. It would have been better if you're on the first. But still, I guess you'll make your way up. And you got to have peace. Hold on. Friend, we go through some hard circumstances. Miss Mindy Stock is here today. Lost her husband, who was just a little bit older than I, due to COVID last year. It left three teenagers that she's raising. Like, this hard circumstances, friend. Like, this, even at our church last year, hard. Yider family sitting right over here. I was supposed to bury a son, 38, 39 years old. Like, that's tough. Heartbreak, heartache, tears, mourning, weeping. Well, Brother Yider, I'm glad you're in church. I mean, you ought to be here. Just have peace in your heart. No, hold on. See, I think when we really get down to it, and we look at the story of Esther, friend, we're going to go through some tough times in life. But when you know Jesus, you're going to know that He is with you every step of the way. Tina, He's got you. Hold on. Tom, He's got you. He never last week left you. Guide your family. Did you miss Him? Yes. I can't wait to meet Him one day. I never had the opportunity. I'm going to meet Him in heaven. I can't wait. Like, I'm going to run and hug Him. I can't wait for the day. Bruce Gale, 3, 4 years. This is tough. But Jesus was always there with you. Mindy, I know you lost a husband. I know it's been a difficult 8 months or so. But sis, let me tell you, when you know the Prince of Peace, it's going to be a mourning process, but it's going to come when you have a peace knowing you're going to see your husband again one day. And at the moment of life, friend, the world seems against you. Death is all around. Look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. We have a peace knowing this world is not our home. I'm not planning on being here for another 100 years. Anybody with me on that? Say amen. If you're not, you better get on board real quick because you're not either, okay? I'm not planning on being here. Donnie, this world, we're out of here. Do you know how you can have real peace? Know the Prince of Peace. And when you know the Prince of Peace, no matter what you and I go through, and sometimes it's hard, oh, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you know Him today? If you know Him, then why don't we draw close to Him? Can I ask you a question today? And I know I got two other points up here, and some of you are absolutely in a panic thinking it's 12:02, and you see the space that's on that board right there, and you're already ready to zip your Bible, but I'm just now, hold on, we'll get to this maybe at another time, but I'm going to ask you a question. How many know of one person in this very room right now? Maybe they're lost and they need the Lord, or maybe they're saved, but right now they've lost their peace. Can I ask you just to raise your hand? I know of one person, maybe it's yourself. Would you just lift your hand up? Just lift it up. Go ahead, I'm going to lift it up. Go ahead. Oh, the overflow. Do you know one person? Anybody over here know one person? Go ahead and lift your hand. Amen, amen. Does that have peace? How about in here? Let's go ahead. Just lift it up. Do you know somebody? So do we, Cross Point, walk out of this room and just, well, it was a good message today. I love the story of Esther. And hurry, we got to get over to the restaurant before everybody else does. Or are we going to do something about this? What about in this congregation, the last time we actually really did come forward and pray for somebody like Mindy or the Yiders or Bruce and Gail?
death comes and goes when it's not involved in our life, but when's the last time we prayed for them? Can I invite you? Let's pray for them today. What about a neighbor? What about a friend? Let me tell you, in this very room, what about your marriage? You're going through some unsettled waters? Maybe it's time we just got down and just began to talk to Jesus for a moment. Lord, I need peace. Teenager's done this, gone here. I've been stabbed in the back. I've been hurt. Okay, he said, casting all your care upon me, for I careth for you.